Good morning. It is good to see those of us who have ventured out in this cold to be here today, and we'll spend some time together looking at some thoughts from the Word of God. Now, New Year's Day is a special time for people, and I know it was 2 weeks ago, but this is the first time I've been up here to preach since then, so I'm going to do a talk based upon the concept of what it is to begin a new year, a new start, and so forth. And that's what people like about New Year's. It's a point in time where they can kind of say, you know, I'm going to make changes starting now. And for most resolutions and so forth, that lasts until maybe the 4th. But, you know, it's at least a time where people purpose in their hearts or their minds to make some change, whether that's dietary, exercise, new job. It's just a point that people have done that. And then they also maybe like the idea, especially if the previous year had not been the best in their lives. It's a point where maybe they could hope for a different year, that things are going to be better this year. I remember back, I think most of you have been here long enough, Shelley and I both were unemployed for like a two-year period, like from 2008, 2009, and I remember a year had just ended, and I prayed to the Lord. I said something along the lines of, Lord, I know this year can't be worse than this one. Please make it better. And that year wasn't particularly good. And the next year I was humbled, and I said, Lord, I know this year could be worse than this past year, but please don't make it so. And thankfully, it was a better year. And so people can look at that kind of arbitrary point in time and make these decisions. And so people are going to be very optimistic when they go into a new year. This year is going to be my year. This is all going to change. And so I wanted to do a lesson about that type of mentality and encourage us spiritually to make some changes or make improvements in our spiritual life. And God, simply all throughout the scripture, he wants us to improve spiritually. And so that's not anything, there's no new ground I'm covering here today, but maybe just spurring us to consider that a little bit. And he wants us to have a better year because it means we would be getting closer and closer to him. So I want to focus on one way that God has shown his people that he loves them and he cares for them and he wants them to remember him. And he repeatedly used memorials, especially we'll find a lot of times in the Old Testament, to help people remember and to stay moving forward. And mostly he used them that people would not forget who he was and what he had done for them. And he was wanting to help these people have that remembrance, because if they remembered, they would be more inclined to want to stay close to him. And so I want to spend just a little bit of time, some examples of memorials that God provided for people. And there's not enough time to list all of them, but these are, we're going to talk through, just to get a sense of what he asked them to do and what the benefit was. And so if you think about it, and Chris mentioned it just briefly this morning in his class, the book of Deuteronomy, the book itself is a memorial. Moses was preaching to the people right before he died, and he was reminding them that everything that God had done for them, bringing them through the desert, delivering them from different challenges and so forth, and everything that had happened from the time they left Egypt till that time, that's, the book of Deuteronomy does a very good job of doing that. And he was wanting them to not forget. And by not forgetting, he was asking them to live faithfully for the Lord. The Lord would bless them. And so in Exodus chapter 12 and 13, he gives another memorial, and that's the Passover memorial. He proclaimed that the Passover was to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to celebrate. And the reason for the Passover was that so that people would remember. But really, it was more than just remembrance. And so if we look in Exodus chapter 13, verse 9, it says, "And it shall be to you as a sign on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt." And so I think it's important we catch there a phrase that in the center there, but it says God wanted the Passover to be remembered as a sign so that the law of the Lord would be in your mouth. It would be something that you would just always be able to speak about and always be able to recall. And that's why the Passover celebration was more than a memorial, but it was intended to cause people to be close enough to God that you would just be able to speak about him and tell others about, you know, what he had done for you and so forth at any time. And we know the high priest would wear an ephod that had stones on it. And the two stones on the shoulders were called the stones of remembrance. And it pictured God remembering the sons of Israel when the high priest would go into God's presence. If we look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." The Sabbath day was given so that people would remember that they were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord had delivered them. The day of rest was there that so people would worship and not be concerned about the daily cares and daily chores and so forth. But really, they were to spend their day focused on and remembering that deliverance that had come from, been brought out of Egypt as well. And they were to spend their day focusing on the Lord. In 1 Samuel 7, we read about Samuel setting up an Ebenezer stone so that people would remember how the Lord had helped them against the Philistines. So another example of a memorial. And so that people would remember. And so, as you can see, just we're not very far into the Old Testament, and we could think of several different memorials that the Lord had set up. And so it's important for us, though, that if we are hearing that these memorials are being set up, that we need to know that they have to have a purpose, and they do. So I want to focus now on the purpose of these memorials. Joshua 3, Joshua is preparing to lead the people over the Jordan River. And the instructions are given to the priest to carry the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And when they carried the Ark into the River Jordan, the water stopped to the point where they were able to pass through on dry land. It's not unlike what happened when the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea. The waters were stopped and they were able to cross over completely dry. And the Lord then commands Joshua, while this water is stilled and the riverbed is bare, they were to grab 12 stones and take them out of the river and take it over onto the other side. And the stones were then to be set up as a memorial. And the stones were placed so they would be among them and that people would be able to see it and recognize what it was. And so, but we're told reasons why this was set up. First, the memorials were set up so that they could learn and then not forget what God had done for them in the past. The fact that these stones were there and that you could tell future generations that these stones came from that river, that you couldn't go down and get it now, but we passed through on dry land, that's what it would do. And so we see this in Joshua chapter 4, verse 7, when this command to set up these stones is given, is that this would be a memorial to the people forever. And we understand the need for this because this was a pretty major event, them coming up out of the land of Egypt. And it took, 40 years, just the wandering part. And, you know, there was some time before they got to that point where they were told to wander. They had gone through different lands up until then. But there was going to come a time in generations where that would be forgotten. They wouldn't have experienced it, and it just would be something that they had been told. But this memorial, these 12 stones, could be something that would be helpful in bringing that up. And so we say, well, that was such a big event. How would people have a hard time remembering that or not dwelling upon that? Well, I was thinking, if you're minimum of 25 years old, 30 years old, and so forth, or older, probably, well, yeah, I don't think any of us were probably alive during World War II, at least enough that it would be something we would remember. But 9/11 was probably the most nation-shattering event that most of us have probably lived through. But 9/11 is an example of how easily we can forget. I always remember how close the nation was for about a week. And then people started to want to focus on their gripes and their complaints. But everybody was together. Everybody was united in, you know, overcoming the events that happened. And there are memorials for this event all around different places, especially where the events actually happened. There's going to be a memorial there. But I know Beaver Creek has a park where there actually is a piece of one of the towers that's there in that park. And I knew it was there. I remember hearing that it had been there. But the only reason why I've ever been to that park is because Shelley plays Pokemon Go on her phone, and that's... there's a Pokestop there. If you don't know what that is, don't worry about it at all. It just, but it makes you go places. And when we're in that neighborhood, Shelley will say, oh, there's a Pokestop over here. Let's drive over there so I can visit it. And then she does something in her game. But that's the only reason why I've ever been to that park, is because that piece of the towers is there. And I see it when we've gone there. But I've never just said, hey, I want to go over and I want to visit that park and see that piece. And so people have moved on. As traumatic an event as that was 22 some years ago, it's not something that we think about every day. And it's not something we dwell upon. And it shows how no matter how traumatic an event was or how important an event was, it didn't take but one generation maybe even before it's not that much of a big deal. So the Lord was giving memorials so that wouldn't happen to his people. He wanted these memorials set up, and he wanted them to have the laws of the words of the law in their mouths. They wanted them to be able to teach and talk about it. And so the second purpose for a memorial is that they're beyond just remembering what happened. He wanted people to be changed by the memorial. He wanted people to see these memorials and reflect on what the Lord had done for them, and change would be in their lives because of that. Joshua 4, verses 20 through 24 says, "And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, 'When your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" The end of verse 24 says, "Fear the Lord your God forever." By remembering what the Lord did for you yesterday, it's supposed to impact and affect change tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that. Don't just remember. Remember, reflect on it, and let it change your life. Remember and do something about what God has done. We see the Apostle Paul using this very same concept in Ephesians chapter 2. After telling us that we were children of wrath, but we were saved by God through his rich mercy, he then tells us that what we're supposed to do now that we've been saved through that mercy. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Don't just say, "Wow, that was really cool what the Lord did for me." No, we're supposed to say, well, that was really cool what the Lord did for me, and because of that, I'm going to have that impact my life and make me change where change is necessary. And so we were created by good works, or for good works, and so we have to live by doing those good works, Paul tells us there in Ephesians. Be inspired to do these good works because of the remembrance that we have of what the Lord has done for us. We're not to simply remember, but use that time to be thankful for the Lord's actions in our lives and what he has done for us. The people were to be thankful that God brought them out of Egypt. The people were to be thankful that God had parted the Jordan. And they are to be a changed people now who, while being thankful, are now glorifying God for what he had done and impacting and making change in their life. And then thirdly, yeah, the more, we're told there in Joshua 4 that the memorial to them was given so that they could teach their children, their future generations, what had happened. The stones were placed clearly. Joshua makes it very clear that those stones were there to be talked about to your children, to others that might not know the story of the stones, that might not understand what they were there for. Without any context, those are just a pile of rocks. And unless someone is there to provide the context, no one would ever look at that and say, oh, I can tell them immediately what that is. The context has to be provided, and in this case, it was parents teaching their children so that their children then would teach their children, and it would go on and on. So with those thoughts in mind, we'd have to say, well, how could a memorial in my own life, how could I take stones and create a memorial for myself to help me remember? And so I want to talk about maybe the stones of our lives, the living stones that we have around us, and what we can do to help us maybe make our own memorials and help us focus on the same things that the Lord was having the children of Israel to remember. We have memorials regarding the fact that we have salvation available to us. The cross is a key memorial for our salvation, because it was upon that cross that that moment in time is what brought salvation into the world. The actions that the Lord did by dying on that cross allows us to have the opportunity to take advantage of the salvation. And so it's maybe the most pivotal point in history when he died. And so that is a memorial that we can focus upon. But based upon that act, the Lord himself set up a memorial supper that we keep each Sunday. And the Lord's Supper is to help us to, this do in remembrance of me is on the front of our table. That's what the supper is for, to help us recall and reflect and remember what it is that the Lord did for us. And we do this every week so that we don't forget, so that we do this every week so it can remain a relevant, contextual part of our life and not just something that we maybe one Sunday or two Sundays a year might recognize. It's not just a remembrance, though. We're also told it's a proclamation about the Lord's death, knowing that he is going to return. We are going to drink this with him one day anew. And until we have that, we need to remember and remember the death. And we can, the Lord's Supper is given to us. We give thanks for the bread. We say that all the time. Would you give thanks for the bread? Would you give thanks? We're thankful for these emblems because of what they represent. The bread and the fruit of the vine are just food and a drink, but when we apply it to the act that the Lord went through on the cross for us, then we can give thanks for that. It's just a material thing, but in our minds, it becomes this connection and helps us remember and recognize the sacrifice that the Lord went through for us. And so we don't give thanks out of habit. We give thanks because we recognize the importance. Baptism is another salvation. I don't know if salvational, but it's a salvational memorial. I made that word up, if that's what it is, but I struggled with it, but that's really what it is. And so that's another memorial that the Lord has given us. The Apostle Paul describes our baptism in Romans 6 in this way. I didn't put this passage in. I apologize. You'll have to trust me when I read it to you. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Paul is pointing out that our baptism is not just a one-time event. It is something that is not to be forgotten just, you know, a few days after having done it. Our baptism is important because it should mean something. And he tells us here in these verses that there are two main things that baptism means for us. The first is that when we're baptized, we're being united with the Lord by being buried in the waters of baptism and rising out of it. We are being united in that. And regardless of what some of our religious friends will say, baptism is not just an act of a ceremonial act or an act of to represent salvation. It is the salvation. Baptism is done in faith so that we can join ourselves to him in his death and his resurrection. I started by saying, you know, people like New Year's because we get to put on a new, start a new year fresh. Well, that's what baptism is. You're starting a new life. You're putting on a new body. And that's what's being done here. Secondly, our baptism signifies our death to sin and this new way of life. Paul says, if you are baptized and you did it, you know, because you had faith and you want to have him in your life, you can't continue to live in sin. It just can't happen. How can we who died to sin still live in it? It's just not something that someone who was consistent with doing that would do. You died to sin and you're now walking in a new way of life. And so your baptism should have this meaning to you. Your life began anew when you were baptized. And so we need to realize that you change your life so that you can live for him. And this baptism is a point of thanksgiving that we have, thanking him for the death that he died for us so that we could have our sins erased and begin that new life. But I also want us to think about some of our own personal memorials. Think about some key moments in your life where God has helped you or changed you or just made a difference in your life. Think about times when you thought life was at its worst and God helped you. I mentioned just a moment ago, I prayed that I knew the next year could be bad, just don't make it so. And it wasn't. And I think that was a little humility on my part, and I recognized that. But that was a key moment in my life, because from that point forward, I haven't had to think about how I was going to get to the store because I didn't have a car. Was Debbie going to go clean the building and she let me borrow their van for an hour or so? That was very helpful. I don't have to think about those things, thankfully. But that's a big point in my time of my life. But think about, you know, when life was at its worst and God helped you, maybe even think about some of the highs in your life. Those highs came about because a prayer might have been answered, something along those lines. And so we have to then do for ourselves what we saw the Israelites doing. So make this memorial from your own stones. Now, once again, not bringing up Debbie again, but I know she likes rocks and collecting them. I'm not saying you have to go out and pick up physical rocks, but just make these mental memorials in your mind. Give yourself something that's going to help you remember what the Lord has done for you and what he is capable of doing for you. And so we need to create these memorials in our minds to help us be thankful for what he has done. But keeping a memorial hidden or covered isn't very effective. We have to let others see it and be aware of it. Just like that pile of rocks would have just been a pile of rocks unless people were there to explain it. We need to be able to tell our friends, our family, our colleagues, whoever it might be, about what these points in our life meant for us. And we need to help explain about how the cross and the Lord's Supper and the baptism we talked about just a moment ago, what that's done for us and what it can do for them. And so we need to be able to have these memorials and then share them with people around us so that they can have some context about what they see in our lives. But then also we need to tell them about how God helped you in difficult times. Tell them about how God has blessed your life. Tell them that God is the reason why you are where you are in your life. And tell them how bad it might have been and how God has helped you through those things. And so by building these memorials, we are ready to share them with others and help people understand what it could do for them. So like I said, we're 2 weeks into the year. You may have already blown through your resolutions, or maybe you hadn't thought of a good one yet, but I'm here 2 weeks into the year to tell you that if you're still looking for something, I've got a couple suggestions. We can remember what it is that God has done for you. And we can resolve to focus on that. We can resolve to be thankful for God, to God, for what he has done to us or done for us. Well, to us. He's done things to us as well. I didn't mean that as a derogatory comment. And then resolve ourselves to tell others about what these changes to our life have meant for us and that it can mean and what it can mean for them as well. And so before going forward with the new year, I want you to reflect back and think of the low times and the high times and give God thanks for all of that and to help us remember what it is that he did for us before we totally look forward into this new year. And so when you are experiencing doubts, when you're maybe depressed a little bit or you're just down, remember back to those memorials that you have built up. When times are hard, think back. And maybe when times are good, you can look back at those memorials and say, I've been blessed because of these points in my life that the Lord has been there for me. And remember what it is that he's done. Go back to your salvation moments. Go back to when you were baptized. Go back to the most recent Sunday when you've commemorated the Lord's Supper, which we're going to do here in just a few moments. And then remember the covenant that was made so that we could be saved through the blood of Jesus. And we should go back and remember all that God has done to help us to this point in our life and then share that with others. So obviously, this conversation this morning has been mostly for those of us who have already made that decision to dedicate our lives to the Lord. And I've been encouraging us to remember and spurring us on to that recollection to help us get through any challenges we have today by what we've been through in the past. But if you're here this morning and you've never made that decision to give your life over, well then, your memorials are going to be dedicated to other things, to worldly things, things that are not spiritual. And at the end of time, that isn't going to help you much. You have that opportunity today to dedicate your lives to the Lord. You have that time today to create your first memorial, your first salvation memorial by coming forward and being baptized. And then you can go forward and you can have your first Lord's Supper this morning. And then you can go forward and start to recollect and make account of all the things that the Lord has blessed you with. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation at all, we ask you to come forward this morning as we stand and as we sing.